Amen. How many got that one today? All right, good. All right. Well, it's kind of interesting today. It's one of those days where, you know, you pray about it and you feel like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then you get this thing, you have these different ideas. And then when you get here, God says, preach the other one. And so, how many know it's good to ignore God once in a while? No, I'm kidding. But I do want to say a couple of things, because I was struggling yesterday, and I was telling Serena, you know, I've got all these ideas, I want to put them all in, because there's some great things I want to say, and, but what my fear is that all of them are going to come out, and it's going to be the longest hour and a half boring sermon after all these facts that I give you, all these things I want to say, so I had to kind of go through and weed out some stuff. But let me just first, of course, wish you a happy Mother's Day. Everybody, right? We're all grateful for our moms. Amen. And, you know, let me do that. And, of course, I know some of you are like, well, I don't have any babies, but I want to say happy Mother's Day to you, too. And some of you will, hey, I'm a dude. Well, okay, happy Mother's Day to you also, right? But today, you have a mom. You have something to celebrate. So, amen. But I want to attempt a biblical overview of maybe motherhood in a way that I hope and I've prayed that will edify all women today across the church, of course, and Mother's Day as well. And just a kind of a reminder to men the dignity and the value of women and mothers in such a way that we praise Him. Of course, Proverbs 31, many of you know this verse. It does say, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. That's when you say amen, okay? Yeah, now, obviously, that verse is not exalting us to idolatry. The point is that when we praise women, when we praise our mothers for the goodness of God that we see in them, who are, of course, ultimately praising, we are ultimately praising God, okay? God, the God who has made them and loves them. C.S. Lewis said this, if we do not admire what is praiseworthy, we shall be stupid and insensible and great losers. And how many know I don't want you to be a bunch of losers, all right? So now, if we're going to celebrate Mother's Day, and if we're going to address, of course, in a few weeks, Father's Day, then we're going to, just a little plug, guys, just thought I'd get that in there, okay? We're going to do it biblically. And so we're going to do it in a way that honors God. And so I want to make sure that we do it biblically, because I don't want us to celebrate the wrong thing when there's something very good, something very right, something very beautiful that needs to be celebrated, of course, but it might not be exactly what you think. And so in order for us to get going on where this is going here on Mother's Day, we've got to read a little bit from the Bible. Amen. And in order to define what motherhood is. And so because I think if we had a chance and all of us had like this little mic, and not little mic, but a little a little mic that we went around the room and we were asked, what is motherhood, okay? There would be an inference to having a child somewhere in that definition. You know, I mean, if I said, what's motherhood, then you would say, well, it's nurturing, it's compassionate people who have babies. And so women who have had babies, but the problem with that is a little bit of a biblical one, okay? And I'll show you what I mean. In Genesis chapter 3, that is the fall of man, God creates the world in rhythm, just kind of functioning correctly, everybody in their part. And I think the world's a beautiful place, no envy, no strife, no sorrow, and then woman messed it all up. No, just kidding. Everybody's working right, everything, you know, God created worked well, worked seamlessly, and everything was pretty much a beautiful reality. And then sin entered into the world, okay? And so the narrative of how sin entered into the world is that Adam and Eve are walking through the garden. Eve begins this conversation with the serpent. And of course, in that, Eve takes a bite of the fruit, gives it to her husband. He takes a bite of the fruit. Now, he's with her the whole time. And I think women have caught a lot of grief for that. But When God starts walking through the garden, who does he ask for? Right? He asks for Adam. He does not ask for Eve. He does not blame Eve. He blames Adam. Now, Paul would attest to this also in the New Testament, that sin entered into the world because of their sin, or the sin of the man, not because of the sin of the woman, see? And so you've got the fall of mankind, and everything that was good and right got fractured and broken. And so now we talk about that, you know, a lot around here, and so all of a sudden, here it is. Wine gave way to drunkenness, and food gave way to gluttony, and sex gave way to perversion, and all of that God had created good, by the way, and right in the world begins to spiral now out of control, okay? And so God begins to say, hey, because of your sin, guys, here's the result. Here's what's going to happen. And he addresses the woman and he says, because of your sin here, here's the result. So now there's going to be, you know, pain in childbirth. And he begins to list out the difficulties that are now in the world. And all of them for the woman rotate around the home. It's very interesting if you look at it. Then he begins to address the man. And interesting, of course, enough for the man. All the struggles of the man exist outside of the home and in the workplace, usually, if you read that list. Now, he basically says you're going to work the field and it's not going to produce like it once did, and it's going to be with toil from now on. And then after the fall, after everything's been fractured, everything's been broken, that's where we pick it up here in verse 20, okay? 3:20, and a very interesting verse for several reasons. And here's what it says. The man called his wife's name Eve. Okay? The man called his wife's name Eve. Very interesting. You would have thought that after the fall, he would have had some other names for her, right? But that's what he calls her. The man called his wife's name Eve. Now, this is where it gets very intriguing, because chapter 3, verse 20, because she was the mother of all living things. She's the mother of all living. Interesting. Now, let me show you why it's so intriguing. If you go down to chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now Adam knew his wife. Now, that new right there is new in the biblical sense, okay? Please don't make me explain it anymore. And I'll keep reading. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. So now let's put these two things together. Adam calls the woman Eve because she's the mother of all things, and yet she does not even have what? No one knows. Children. She's called the mother of all living things before she has had any children. So it seems then that motherhood is more extensive, maybe deeper than physically having babies. All right, I know that what's happening here, maybe, and some of you, I don't think there's anyone in this room, of course, but every mother who had their baby naturally is like, hey, don't you take this away from me, Pastor. The women who have had epidurals are like, okay, whatever, keep going. But natural, they're like, oh no, he didn't. But here's the thing, okay? There's kind of this thing in the scripture, it seems like something's going on here, and there's something intrinsic, I guess you could say, in the woman that makes her motherly before children enter into the world. This is interesting. So let's take a look at this again. Go back to Genesis 1 now, to verse 26. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So this is a conversation within the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says, let us make man in our image. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Now here it is. Male and female he created them. All right, so God, you have to get this, wanting to display his imagery to the universe, creates mankind in his own image, male and female in his own image. And so he begins to create. He picks up some dirt and he forms man and he breathes life into him. And then he tells a man to find a helper. Man looks over all the creation. He names them all. You remember this. No suitable helper is found. And so what happens? God knocks him out, pulls a rib out of him, makes the woman. And although they are equal, and although they are on the same playing field in terms of imagery of God, you would be a fool to argue that they are not unbelievably distinct in their creation. That's a whole other sermon series, okay? But God, this is what I want you to get. God wanting to display the width and the breadth of who he is, creates man and then creates the woman. And as a rule, guess what? They are distinctives. There are distinctives between the two. Men were designed by God to be physically stronger. Okay? Now, you can hop online, I'm sure, and you can find some case. You can give me some ridiculous arguments here about, you know, this woman who is on steroids and she bench presses, you know, 325 pounds and how she could whoop my five-year-old grandsons or whatever. And I would be like, okay, I guess that I was wrong there. But in the end, it starts, you know, getting a little ridiculous. You know that. And on the whole, though, here's the thing. On average, men have been created by God to be physically stronger than women. Now, I know that there's all those things out there, you know, P90X, Tybo, and all that stuff. Tybo has been a long time, right? It's been old. But anyway, on the whole, men are physically stronger. Now, God creates the woman with certain attributes, physical attributes, that man does not possess. He gives her breasts. And if you think about that, that's a real unique piece, right? It's hard in our culture because in our culture, breasts are decorative, but in most cultures, they are for raising children. And I might get in trouble for that on Monday with the leaders. I don't know, but here's the thing. He makes her hips rounder, okay? He makes her body softer, and this plays itself out over and over again. God makes the woman anatomically as a comforter, as a nurturer. She's softer, generally quieter, and gentler. Now, sometimes I have to admit I have used this to my own advantage. Okay? Oh, whoa, that didn't sound right. what I mean is we have a lot of grandchildren, and wow. What will happen sometimes is Serena is generally doing her awesome grandmother thing. She'll take the kids and she'll, like right now, we have one that we call Fado, right? And he's the youngest one, Elijah, and he is extremely fat, right? And so she likes to carry him around all the time. She carries him around. And then when she gets tired, I'm sitting on the couch usually wrestling. The other ones are scratching me and beating me up or whatever. And she'll say, here, you hold him now. Right? And how many know what that means, guys? Like, start doing something, okay? So I'll hold him, but what happens is, after a while, he just gets fussy. And no matter what I do, I cannot get him not to cry or not to fuss. And so eventually, it works to my advantage, because she'll come over and she'll take him from me, and guess what happens? Within minutes, he's totally fine. No more crying, nothing. It just works perfectly, right? And of course, she knows that now, so she'll hand it back to me. But that's kind of how it works. And no matter what we do, you cannot get them to stop crying. And so they'll take them. Maybe they'll mumble something. But within minutes, the baby from crying turns to silence. Why? Because generally, guys, their bodies are softer. They have built-in cushions. They can pull them close. their skin is generally softer, their voices are softer, they feel safe, and they quickly slip back into the quietness of sleep. And so that is crazy. But the reality is, our wives and mothers, I guess, are built for that by the way God designed them. They are nurturers. Again, you know what happens? The dad says, well, kid, if you didn't want that to happen, you shouldn't have done this. What does mom do? Holds you and lets you cry, right? Tries to comfort you, tries to encourage you. So the Bible calls Eve the nurturer before she has any children. Motherhood, more than, it was going to be having babies, although that's a huge part of it, was going to be instead the role of the woman in how God created the world to function. Now, this is a tough thing that maybe people are not going to get, but now I need to be really careful, because I don't want you to hear that what I'm saying is that nurturing has something to do with cleaning the house and cooking dinner, because, that's not at all what I'm saying. In fact, the scripture tells us that God nurtures us by speaking the truth in love sometimes, and that's sometimes very aggressive. Like this is an interesting study for us, right? And but here's the thing, I heard about this study. There was a study on certain adolescents who came from really good homes, but their hearts were filled with rage. And so they would medicate them and try to figure out why these kids were filled with rage. And so they started this intense study on why these kids are angry like this. And here's what they found. In almost every one of the cases, they found a mother who took nurturing to like sinful levels. Let me explain what I mean. They found in one case that one of the kids would paint, and then as the kid walked away and left the paint and started playing with another toy, mother would clean up the paint and then put it all away and then do the same thing over again. The kid would move on over to this toy, and then they would come back and they would want to paint again. And so the mother would pull out all the paints and then, put back the easel, and then the same thing would happen again. The mother would come over, clean up the toys where the boy was playing, and then the kid would leave the paint, come over back to the toys, and she would just do this vicious cycle and would pull them out and start playing. And so she would clean up the paint because, you can't leave the paint out. She would screw the top back on, and she would take down the easel. She would put it all back, and then the kid would come over again and want to paint again. And so the mother would get that easel back out. And you see, some of you are looking at me like, wow, that's a rad mother. No, it's not. See, it was not my mom for sure. But here's what I'm trying to say. The kid grew up, developed, and was not ready for the disappointment of real life. Because that's the only bubble that, you'll get your way in all the time. And so they couldn't deal with kindergarten, right? And so as they grew, they began to develop this anger and this rage towards everyone who didn't give them what they want. Because if we would just give them what they want, right? And I don't know if you've ever met anyone like that or been that person, but they have this pervasive problem, and they can't even see that the common denominator is them. And what happened here is that that's not biblical nurturing. Biblical nurturing would be, hey, baby, Johnny, whatever, mommy already put those up. See, you can paint tomorrow. You give them a kiss, you little artist, and you go on your way, right? Because you can play with your stuff tomorrow. Mommy already put that up. Right? This idea of nurturing, if you break it down in the Hebrew, is this: the woman provides nourishment. But in the end, how does this stuff work itself out? Well, sometimes it's just biblically black and white. I mean, the scriptures would say that if you're an older woman, you should be nourishing and nurturing younger women, whether they're your children or not. And I would take a step farther and tell women of all ages that they also have a role to nourish and to even press men, young men, children, into godly men. And I would say this to single women all the time, you know, what that, how do you know? I guess I've heard this before, but especially when we were youth pastors, which it was back in 18-something now, but no, I'm just kidding. But when, you know, that single man starts throwing the game and he's not godly, but he's the church guy, you know, that you need to confront him and say, hey, listen, I think you're cute, you're a good-looking guy or whatever, but here's the problem. I'm looking for someone who loves Christ, and because if they love Christ with all their heart, then they're going to love me like Christ loved the church, and that's the paradigm that I'm in. And so you're an immature believer, and so, hey, I'm out, right? Don't get me wrong. You look good, but I'm out. And that's nourishing. That's nurturing. That's you being motherly to a guy who might be 24 years old, still playing his Xbox, living at home. I mean, seriously, I don't know if you have studied some of these things, but in a way, masculinity in this country is under attack. But at the same time, you know, it's like, hey, I've mastered Doom 3. Now what do I do? Okay, go get a job. Maybe that's a Father's Day message. I don't know. But I just don't know. I don't know what to do. Well, here's what you do. Work. That's what you do. Because if you don't work, then you don't eat. Right? And how many know that's not sexy? Okay. But remember Deborah in the Old Testament? Remember? She was awesome. But here's the thing. Even Deborah, the judge, she calls herself the mother of Israel. And she uses that position to engage and encourage sagging male leadership. Nurture, nourish, confront, encourage, love. This is the role of the mother. And by that, I mean the female. See? Now, I found this verse, I would say in this place, that you're the mother of this community, right? Whether or not you've had physical children at all, listen to this. This is powerful. Sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married. Interesting. So the scriptures admonish, come on, we need you, mother. Nourish and encourage. The number of those without mothers will always far outweigh those with. That's what it says. And so at the beginning, I said that we are in danger of celebrating the wrong thing. And again, don't get me wrong. We got my, you know, we got Karen a gift. I have my mom a gift. And we're going to connect with them, of course, today. But here's the thing. We're grateful for them. They're the glue that held us together. And she was definitely these things for me. But in the end, it's the wrong celebration because you're celebrating the shadow and not the form. What I'm saying is, here's what I mean. Genesis chapter 1, the triune God says, let us make man in our image. And the Trinity agrees because it always does. And they make mankind in their image, both male and female in their image, so that in the female nurturing and nourishing and mothering, we have an aspect of the character of God that is not so readily seen in the male. And if you read the Bible, there are these times that, you know, the masculinity of God is definitely dominant. I mean, like when Jesus returns, he's all tattooed up, holding a sword, riding a horse to judge the nations. Now, if it gets more masculine than that, tats and a giant sword and killing a bunch of nations, I don't know what is more masculine than that. But then there's this other side to God that he communicates, a nourishing, encouraging, life-giving part of the character of God. And so, you know, My dad always told me, hey, suck it up, whatever. He would, you know, kick me in the bottom, make me get going. But my mom would hold me and just let me cry and encourage me. My dad would be gruff and straight and hard, and my mom would be slower and more gentle. And this is God displaying himself to you and to me in both. And so we celebrate mothers, yes, absolutely. But why? Because of Christ in them and because of what Christ is communicating to us about himself in them. Gentleness, compassion, sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of you are like, well, that's not all women. Well, okay, that's true. You know, you're right. I mean, because we live in a fallen world. And the same reason why servant leadership for men is such an extinct animal today. Because of the fall, but in the rhythmic way that God created, this is what it was. And so I'm grateful for my mom. I'm grateful for my daughters, all the girls. It's so funny, too, because our grandkids, Caleb came in running in the other day. They went on a family walk or something, and Caleb runs inside and he goes, Grandpa, we saw a bunch of roly-polies. All right, cool. And the other day he had, like, you know, this stink bug was in the backyard, and the granddaughters, they're so much different. They'll look and they'll see what's going on. Oh, yeah, wow, that's neat. And they have compassion on each other. But again, Caleb, maybe we should talk about Caleb, but you know, the stink bug was walking across the patio, and he's looking at it for a few minutes, and I can hear this, you know, they're all talking about it, and then a few minutes later, there's all this ruckus. What happened? Caleb squashed him, you know? And then Hootie says, I don't know about that. He's always squashing stuff. But anyway. But that's the way it is. You know, we're just different. But we're also, both of us are displaying the different characteristics of God. The girls are moved in one way and the boys in another. And so my hope today is kind of all over the map. But I know some of you, you know, and I just want to say, I know some want to have children, and they want them so bad, but I would say, come on, and mother us. The church needs more mothers. You don't have to have children to mother. It's what God created you for, mother. Please, mother. It's how God wired you. It's how he wired you physically. It's how he wired you mentally. It's how he wired you emotionally. Of course, you want to mother then. And then there are some maybe who have a hard time forgiving mom, and I think maybe it's time to let go. Nobody's perfect, and that's why we all need the cross. And then there are those of you who are doing this well, and so we should celebrate. It should be big. It may not be, you know, an external celebration. It might just be, you know, I mean, you can have a blowout block party if you want to. I should say go ahead and do it if you can. That's awesome. But maybe it's just a card. It says, Happy Mother's Day. Some of you, hopefully, and there's nobody in here panicking that they didn't realize it was Mother's Day today. But you're, especially husbands, you're in big trouble. But you're going to be at Target, and you know how that goes. But here's the thing. Maybe there could be real thinking on what God reveals to us about himself in our wives, in our daughters, in our sisters, our nieces, whatever it is, our friends. What God is telling us. And you can be powerfully impacted by God. I mean, think about it. And Timothy, one of the most awesome guys in all of the New Testament, Paul's protege. Paul writes to him, it's amazing. I see the gift of God working in you that was also in your mother and in your grandmother. And it's obvious in the scripture, if you look at that, that his father was not a believer, but because of his mother's faith and his grandmother's faith, he became one of the most incredible people in all of the scripture. You never know how far-reaching your faith is going, especially in a day today when, you know, motherhood is not necessarily, or I should say staying home and staying with your children is not the popular thing to do. And again, that's a whole other series on manhood, womanhood, all that stuff. But I just want to encourage you today. God created us both. Not only are you gals wired by God, even if you don't have children, you can mother. And it's okay to mother. Mother us, okay? Also, that don't forget that you are dignified by God because he created this way, both of us. No sex is superior to the other one, and any culture that tells you that is wrong. And it's hard for us today because that's going against some of the cultural, pop culture today, right? Masculinity is a good thing. It's created by God. I mean, in the biblical sense, okay? And so I want to make sure that we understand that God has given you these characteristics and traits, and they are God-given, and you can affect people in ways that you cannot imagine, but you just have to mirror what he's given you. It's all a picture of Jesus Christ, right? Even in marriage. Marriage is sacred. And marriage is a type and a picture of Jesus and his bride. And even in that, we can't let the world redefine it for us. We can't do it. We don't have the right to do that. And so we need to be strong. Celebrate your mom today. Give her the praise. Remember, it says if you don't praise it, that you're stupid. And you're a loser. So let's do that today. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the desires that you have placed in our hearts, the godly ones, the ones that are intrinsically woven into us, Lord. We thank you all the way from conception, Lord. I thank you that motherhood goes well beyond just having babies, Lord. And I thank you for what's my mom's love, the love I've seen in Karen revealed to me about you, what the women all around, these godly women, Lord, that love you and their display of your grace and your love and your mercy working in their lives, Lord, we can learn from that. And so, Lord, we just thank you for them. And I just want to praise you, Jesus, for what you've done today. Thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. How you display yourself, Lord, in so many different ways. And also for those of us who aren't mothers, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to display your love and grace too by our lives, by how we live and what we do and what we say, Lord. Your name is beautiful. Your power is great. And your love is incredibly matchless. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so you know what? We love you guys so much that we got something very special for each one of you. Mothers, okay. How many like nothing bundt cake? All right. Well, that's not it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. Yes, we have some back there. So on your way out, you know, if you're a female, please go ahead and grab one and enjoy. All right. We wanted to give you something that you would also enjoy, but I'm not going to say you wouldn't enjoy flour because next year you might get a flower. But this year, nothing bundt cake, all right? So God bless you. Let's have the ushers come forward to receive the Lord's tithes and our offering. Next week, of course, we'll be back in our Mind Games series, talking about how we change the way we think. Again, nobody talks to you more than you do, so it would be good if you said positive, godly things to yourself, right? So that's what we're talking about over the next several weeks. But Lord, use these resources to further your kingdom. We thank you. We praise you. You are good. And bless your people, and may they be cheerful and hilarious givers, Lord. Amen. Amen. feel like I should start dancing or something up here. You know, I probably should because I didn't realize how early I got you out. This is incredible. This is the first time ever. 11:20. Is that right? Usually I'm just starting right now. Hey, maybe I can preach that other sermon. Some of you probably say, hey, I wish you would have. Anyway, may the Lord bless you and keep you in his love and his grace, cause his face to shine upon you, and give somebody a hug on the way out, right? See you next week.